Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God and the opportunity that we have to have it preached to us this morning. Help us not take it for granted. Help us not to say, well, we've heard this before. But help us to have hungering hearts to know what the Word of God has for us individually today. Now, Father, for that task to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him this morning as he speaks to us. And Father, if there's one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, the one that's paid for their sin, I pray before they leave this room this morning, they would settle it. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me give you the cell phone warning. Make sure it is turned off or to vibrate now. Check it. Make sure. Say, oh, I think it is. Make sure. Because here's what will happen. If your cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it, that fog and stuff that's been hanging around the last few days will perpetually hang over your house. You'll be like that guy in the old Little Abner comic strip. He used to walk around with a cloud over his head, raining on him all the time. That'll be you. Now, be careful. Be careful. I just want you to have the sunshine of life. So make sure your cell phone is turned to off or to vibrate, please. We'd appreciate it. We'd also ask you to sit and listen very carefully. Do you ever realize, the first few Sundays of the month, a few Sundays of the year, we always preach messages that are intended to kind of help us get the year either started off right, well, both actually, to get the year started off right and to prepare us for some of the things that will be coming this year. Say, oh no, Pastor Johnson, no, don't think it's bad. There's good things that'll happen this year too, you know. And I find as I go back sometimes and I look through messages that I've preached in this time in our church, almost every year I preach a message from this text. And not because it's one of my favorite texts, I love it, of course, but because God always points me to this text. Because listen now, 2011 is going to be about reaping and sowing. No, it's going to be about sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now listen, we are going to reap some things this year we sowed last year. And we're going to reap some things this year we sowed 20 years ago. Now, here's what I want you to do this morning. In Galatians there, every time I've ever heard messages on, you're going to reap what you sow, it's always, you reap what you sow, pal. Well, there is some negative connotation to that. You can't miss it. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. That corruption there means dead flesh that rots and stinks. I don't think anybody wants that for lunch today, right? Rotten, stinking flesh. So there is that. But in Galatians 6, 7 to 9, if you look at it, there's more positive in that those verses than there is negative. Because if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. And then verse 9 is the great verse. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that's in the context of doing what you should. And that harvest of that will come in your life. So let's do that this morning, all right? Let's kind of get our thinking right about this passage, that it has both positive and negative. And hey, there's nothing wrong with the negative part of this passage. Folks, it takes a positive and negative terminal on your battery to get your car to start. It takes positive and negative to make life work. There's nothing wrong with the negative and the positive together. And believe me, you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption, no question. You sow to the Spirit, you will reap life. And it seems like kind of a no-brainer of our choice of which we would prefer, rotten flesh or living life. Maybe we'll have to think about that. Don't think so. Now look at Galatians 6, 7 this morning. And there's a statement here that interests me, that caught my interest. And I've read it a bazillion times. I don't know how many times a bazillion is, but it's a lot. Okay, verse 7, be not deceived. Then it says this, God is not mocked. And I'm thinking to myself, who's dumb enough to mock God? Because mock means to falsely accuse. It means to say something untrue. To mock in the Bible means, it means to cast doubt, to question, to scorn. Then I'm thinking to myself, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Who in the world would be dumb enough to try and mock God? I'm thinking, now that would not be intelligent, nor would it be smart. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. And now look, and then he puts it in the context of a principle, a truth so powerful, God wrote it on the face of nature, that you reap what you sow. God says, now listen, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So he wrote it in the Bible for us to see it. He wrote it on the face of nature for us to see it. He taught us that in just about every area and walk of life, look here, that you reap what you sow. So I'm thinking to myself, God is not mocked. Who or what would dare to mock God, especially in this one definitive, simple, clear area about reaping and sowing? Let me give it to you this morning. God will not be mocked by the denial of the sower. Look at me. You and I are putting seed in the ground of life by every action and choice that we make. Every one of us. Heard an old preacher many years ago, a black preacher, say, the seed is in the ground and it didn't get there by accident. We are, our actions, your actions today, coming to church today, was sowing good seed in your life. You realize that? That's good seed. Every time you say no to sin, you're sowing good seed. Every time you say yes, you're sowing seed. But every action of our lives, every choice of our life, every decision in our lives, all of them, that's me sowing seed for the future. And here's what happens. Then we, since the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That means this, I will reap the harvest of every decision, choice, and direction that I make in my life. I will. I don't reap for someone else, I reap for Mike Johnson. I may suffer some consequences because of the choices other people make in their life, but hey, listen to me. He said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He's trying to be very specific and teach us, ladies and gentlemen, you are sowing in your life by decisions and choices that you make. And whatsoever you sow, you will reap. Then why do you hear people say, well, I didn't deserve that. That shouldn't have happened in my life. Oh, some people even lay wrong at the feet of Almighty God. They say, boy, you know, that's not right. God shouldn't have let that happen in my life. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yeah, but I didn't deserve that, Pastor Johnson. See, I wasn't doing anything wrong at the time, but whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen now, listen. The denial of the sower isn't going to mock God. God said, no, that's not how it works. You reap what you sow. You don't reap what someone else sows. You reap what you sow. And because of that, whatever comes to your life is a product, a byproduct, as it were, of what you decided and have done with your life. Now, that makes it tough. I'll tell you what, that just absolutely slaughters psychology and psychiatry today, where everybody's codependent and you can't help it because you're what you are. And you know the old stuff, folks. Your mom put your diaper on too tight when you're little, and now you can't help yourself. And you don't know what to do because you didn't get the favorite present for Christmas when you were three. And your life was all wrecked and ruined because you were born on the wrong side of the tracks, or maybe on the tracks, or wherever the side of the tracks you were from. And your life is all messed up because your parents were this and they weren't that, and your grandfather was this, and you're born one of these, and you're one of those, and you're this color, or you're that color, or you're not this color, or you're not that color, or you're too tall, or you're too short, or you're too fat, or you're too skinny, or you don't have the right color hair, or you don't have any hair at all. Whatever your problem is not your problem. No, that's not what it says. See, look at me. I don't care what they tell you. The denial of the sower does mocking God. God's not going to let that happen. You reap what you sow. Now listen, and again, that's negative and it's positive. It means this, look at me, if I'm doing the right thing in my life and I am treated unjustly for that, and that happens, agreed? Have we not taken the poll enough to know that, ladies and gentlemen, it's confirmed, 100% confirmed, life ain't fair all the time. Is that agreed? And to take rocket science to figure that one out, pal. It's true, isn't it? Sometimes you do the right thing and people treat you wrong for that. Say, well, see, now there you go. I was doing the right thing and they treated me wrong for that. Look at me. That's not the harvest yet. No, that's not the harvest yet. That's just something bad that happened. You keep doing, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. That's not due season. When bad things come because you did right, that's not due season. That's just what happens with somebody who does right in a world that's gone wrong. But look at me. God didn't do anything wrong yet. No. You look at me. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot sow and not reap, because God won't let what we say or not say change that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, I didn't deserve that, Pastor Johnson. That wasn't fair. That shouldn't have happened to me. Well, here's the other side. I don't know why I've been so blessed in my life. I'll tell you why. Because you did the right thing in your life. You've been trying to do the right thing in your life. And you put some good seed in the ground. And God is blessing you for that. Don't forget it now. Don't miss it. Illustration. My brother and I, when we were small, in the days when you let kids take baths together and stuff like that, same gender, we're sitting in the bathtub. I don't know how old we were, but I remember being old enough to look on the edge of the bathtub and see a razor there. One of those old kind where you turn the bottom like that and it opens up and then you put the two-edged razor blade in that thing and then you... And then the turn adjusts the how much you're going to rip off the hide when you do that. Now, we're little guys, right? So all we got is peach fuzz on our legs anyway. And I asked my brother, I said, what is that? And he said, well, Mom shaves her legs with that. I said, huh? He goes, yeah, look. So he brings his little leg up like that, and he starts shaving his leg with it. I go, huh, let me try that. Now, listen, a couple of little boys in the bathtub with a razor should be taught this truth. You got to go the right direction. You can't do a sideways thing with one of those. That doesn't work. You got to go up and you got to go down, but you can't go sideways. And you can't push too hard or the corner digs in and you start doing furrows on your little white fuzz-covered calves. We're in there. I'm in there shaving and he's shaving. I'm shaving my legs. He's shaving his legs like that. I think I'm going to get turned in for this, aren't I? But, hey, it was a long time ago, all right? It was a long time ago. After a while, you know, we were being quiet, so that's trouble. And my mom said, what are you doing in there? And we said, nothing. And she walked in. The water was pink. And there's chunks of fuzz and meat on her razor. And we laid it on the side of the tub, and she walked in, and she said, she looked at that, and she looked at our legs. Just, I mean, it was terrible. You've been shaving your legs with my razor? Uh-uh. Well, how did that happen to your legs? Here it is. Here it is. We were just washing our legs and they started bleeding. She picks up the razor and opens it up and said, well, then what's all this in here? Here's what we do. Here's what we do. No, God, I don't understand all this in my life. What's this all about? I didn't deserve that. That wasn't fair. It wasn't right. The denial of the sower doesn't change the truth. The seed is in the ground, and a harvest will come of this. So see, God won't let you, he won't let that happen. No, you weren't lucky, friends. You were blessed because you did something right, and God blessed you for that. So don't miss that part. Don't deny the blessings like it's some kind of an accident. There aren't any accidents for the child of God. Everything happens in the will of God to a child of God is the will of God, and he brings that to our lives, okay? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, God will also not be mocked by the distance between sowing and reaping. You know, there's a danger in thinking that something that's done today that is not reaped tomorrow is not ever going to show up. Well, I did that once, what, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's distance between this thing. I planted about 60-70 tulip bulbs. And it was kind of late, to be honest with you, about 1st of December or so. I'm a little late getting them in the ground. And about probably almost 100 daffodil bulbs. Those are the ugliest looking bulbs you ever saw. No one ever looked at a tulip bulb and said, isn't that pretty? No one puts them up on the counter and says, look at my beautiful tulip bulbs. You want that nasty thing in the ground. And they were big old tulip bulbs, about the big as my fist, because it would give these nice big tulips when the spring rolls around. You know all that stuff? I put those things in the ground back in the first part of December, and now here we are almost the middle of January. It's been raining, cold, windy, storming, a little bit of snow even. The other day I walked out there, a little bit of green just starting to poke up out of that dirt. Here they come. Look here, you reap in your adult life what you did in your youth. We reap in our children what we sowed in front of them. Don't think that the distance between sowing and reaping is going to mock God, because it's not. The harvest will come in. It will. Pastor Johnson, I've been faithful to the Lord all these years, and it just seems like sometimes, I don't know, where are all these blessings people talk about? So you think God's going to withhold his blessings from you because you don't deserve them? No, you sowed the right seed. God's going to bless that. He will. I think back to the days when we first started this church over there in the Grange Hall building on Airport Road. No land, no building, no people, no money, nothing. Sunday mornings, we get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, go over to the church, the church building, the Grange Hall building, where they had square dancing almost every Saturday night. Clean the building out, sweep it, mop it, set up the chairs, put up the nursery furniture in the kitchen, put those little expando gates between the doorways. The heat didn't work with a flip in that place, so I'd open the ovens and turn the heat on so it'd warm up the kitchen for the babies, and then they'd bring them in and we'd kind of put them in there and keep them. No, we wouldn't. But then we had a little room on the side over here where we had for our Sunday school class after a while. We had a sandwich board sign, had the name of the church on it. I'd throw it on my back like Samson coming out of the city of Gaza and walk out to the curb and set up the sign and sweep the cigarette butts off the sidewalks and stuff and get things squared away and set that building up. You think back 27 plus years ago, you think that I thought then what God would do later? I didn't have any idea. I just knew this. This area needed our kind of church. We started one. We began. And all we had to do is just wait about 20 years. That's all. Going in and out of rented buildings. In one old building we had, the wasps used to come out of the rafters by the light fixtures when it would warm up. And they'd come down in the building and people would be sitting there trying to listen to the sermon going, watching wasps going by. One guy stood up when the offering was there. He stood up and went, kapow, and nailed this one on a light fixture with his hand. Dust came down from the ceiling. Now, that's pretty impressive for visitors. You know that? And a guy went out in the back one time and stuffed a duck down our well. Now, how he got him down there, I have no idea. But a duck coming out of the water pipes is not pleasant. You turn on the water faucet and duck parts start coming out. Because that pump sucked him down there and ran him through the grinder and spewed him out. Yeah. Air conditioning that didn't work half the time. Sweat like you can't believe froze. Yeah. Look at me. Those early days in your marriage when you just worked at loving each other and doing right and honoring God, those days, they will come where the length of a blessed marriage will far outweigh the difficulties of those early days when you had to get used to each other. Remember the get used to stuff? It's worth that. It's worth getting through all those things just to let God bring you to the place. See what I'm saying? Look at me. God is not mocked. There will be a distance between sowing and reaping, but the distance won't mock God because the reaping will come. God will bless, ladies and gentlemen. We've just got to keep putting good seed in the ground. But what do you do when you planted bad seed? You're going to have to get ready because the harvest will come and it will come in your life, but you keep putting good seed on top of that stuff and doing the right thing and let the harvest pass each other. But God will not be mocked. No. Well, that should have happened to me. That was something from 50 years ago. Well, then 50 years harvest comes in. They found in the pyramids over in Egypt, they found wheat seed in hermetically sealed clay jars. Some of that seed had been in there for 3,500 years. 3,500 years. And they took a few grains of it and put it in soil and watered it, and it sprouted. And it grew, and they had 3,500-year-old wheat because the seed wasn't in the ground yet, so it couldn't come up. But when they put it in the ground, there was still life in the seed 3,500 years later. Now think with me. You understand? Listen. God will not be mocked by time. It takes time to see a harvest of our choices and our decisions. Now listen, we reap in adult life what we have sown in our youth. We reap in our children what we have sown before them as they're growing up. We reap those things. We see them come in their lives, good and bad, positive and negative. But we reap what we sow. And if it takes time, it takes time. But the time will come. So Christian, you just keep putting good seed in the ground. You hear me? You keep making choices based on the authority of the Word of God. And I trust you, the harvest will come through. Sow the seed of salvation, and it'll be harvested in the next life and in this one too. Seed of salvation is a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. A simple decision. Such an easy thing, because the hard part's been done by Jesus. And you, in repentance of faith, you turn to Christ and trust Him alone for your salvation. My friend, you trust Him and He will save you on the moment. And you'll plant immediately the seed of God's salvation in your heart and your life. And not by your works, but by His grace. And then if it's a period of time from then to heaven, somewhere in eternity, it'll all be lost, this stuff between salvation and glory. All of it. Used to be a man, went to our church at the age of 4 or 5 years old, walked an aisle in a Billy Sunday crusade in Detroit, Michigan, and trusted Christ as his Savior. Billy Sunday shook hands with every person who got saved in his meetings, shook hands with every person who came to one of his meetings, and it was thousands of people. That man stayed faithful to God all of his life, from the time he was 4 or 5 until he was well into his 90s when he went to heaven. He was never married. His brother Lester Jackman. He was never married. I even asked him one time, "Brother Lester, why is it you were never married?" He said, "I just never had the money." I said, "It doesn't matter. You wouldn't have any after you got married anyway, so what difference does it make?" He said, "I just didn't feel like that's what God wanted me to do. I think He just wanted me to serve Him with my life." My favorite thing was when he went to the doctor in his 80s. They took his blood pressure, and the nurse said, "You've got the blood pressure of a 20-year-old. What do you do?" And he goes, "I've never been married." I don't know what that means. It's almost 90 years between the day Brother Lester shook Billy Sunday's hand. Almost 90 years, just over 90 years before he went to heaven to see Jesus. You think now after these years he's been in heaven, it bothers him that there was a time between the sowing and the reaping? Oh, by the way, reject Christ and salvation, and there will be a reaping. The suddenness of this life will come to a conclusion that you will not be aware or ready for, and you step into forever without Christ in hell, and then it's reaping time. There is a distance between sowing and reaping, but that won't mock God. Last thing is this: God will not allow any mocking in the difference between the seed and the harvest. The difference. See, I planted those tulip bulbs. I'm not going to get ugly bulbs back. I'm going to have their perennials, so I get to have them for a season next year. But that's not what comes above the ground. Can you imagine planting that big, nasty, ugly bulb in the ground? And what grew up was another big, nasty, ugly bulb? Huh? For a long time, we had cactus in our backyard over in the corner. And every time someone would come to our house, they'd say, Who's got this cactus? Whose cactus is that for? I always tell them, my wife likes cactus. Little, petite, sweet, beautiful woman. She likes cactus. So we had this thing of cactus growing over there, which, by the way, at certain times blooms and is very pretty and stuff like that. It's nice. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I didn't put seed in the ground to get seed. You put seed in the ground and you get something else than what you actually planted. And there's a difference sometimes between the actions we sow, look at me, and the harvest that we reap. And you think, well, wait a minute. That's why oftentimes people say, well, I didn't deserve that. Well, yes, you understand. If I rob God of his tithe and his offerings, and then I have nothing but financial trouble in my life, you don't see the correlation? You don't get the picture? You don't sow robbing God and reap financial blessing. They don't go together. You reap. That went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. You reap what you sow, though. You understand? But it looks different. So then here's the thing. Listen, I lack faithfulness to God in my life, but people keep being unfaithful to me, and I don't understand that. Look at me. Look, I won't do what God tells me to do, and I reap disobedience from people around me in my life, and I don't understand that. It looks different, but it's the seed that you've sown. Are you getting a picture this morning? See, the harvest looks different than the seed. But trust me, if in my life I decide I'm going to deceive God by what I try to do with my life, and then I don't understand why people deceive me, and I say, hey, that's not fair. Excuse me, you're just reaping what you've sown. It looks different, but it's the same stuff, and the seed of the consequences, the harvest of the consequences of my life may look different than the seed I've sown in the past, but trust me, it's definitely related to the two. Hey, Joseph is sold by his brothers into slavery, and he loses 20 years of his life. But in 20 years, Joseph was never unfaithful to God and never unfaithful to what he believed. And even almost to the end of it all, his brothers continued to deceive him even after he received them and forgave them. But that's not what Joseph sowed in his life. He stayed faithful to God. And Joseph lived a life of a blessed man. Everywhere you dropped that guy, God's hand was on him. Huh? Yeah, right. Sold by his brothers into slavery. What's good? What good is that? That's a bit of their harvest showing up in his life. But trust me, then Joseph is taken and sold again in slavery in Egypt to Potiphar. And then Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. And now he's thrown in prison. And all this stuff looks bad for Joseph. No, Joseph will come to see later on all that was meant for good. To preserve his family, his posterity, his heritage. And guess what, friend? Part of what you believe was attached to what he did. And the big picture came in because Joseph sowed the right seed. Are you kidding me this morning? Listen, friend. There may be a difference between the seed and the harvest. But trust me, that won't mock God. It'll show up. What we have to do is understand this. We have to understand that my simple responsibility then is this. Sow the right seed. Stop wasting your time sowing seed that you know is not right. You say, well, I'll do what I want and I'll just live with the consequences. How dumb is that? That's like saying, I keep planting seed in my garden and whatever comes up, comes up. No, it won't. It'll come up whatever you planted. Come on now. Look, and don't ever get discouraged in well-doing. Due season will come. The seed will come in. It will. God will bless. Because if it doesn't work, then he's mocked. And you can't mock God because he'll see that it happens. You just keep. And if you got a combination of good and bad, because everybody does, then sow the right seed and just keep sowing. Let the harvest, the old one, go. But quit putting the same dumb stuff in the ground. Well, after admitting I shaved my legs when I was a kid, I guess I can admit this then. The other day, we're coming out of Walmart. Two big signs said no left turn. I had to get to Costco, and God understood I didn't have time to drive around the corner. So I turned left. I looked in my rearview mirror. And it was a policeman. And I pointed at the Costco lot, and he nodded on a motorcycle. And I pulled in the Costco lot. I won't say who it was, but one of you drove by, saw their pastor with the cop standing by his car. And he came up to the car, and he said, did you see those two big no left turn signs that said no left turn? And I had a choice. I'd either break out my Braille Bible and try and pretend I was blind. Or I could just tell him, you know, I wasn't paying attention to it. I just turned. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Shouldn't have done it. Give me your driver's license, your registration, insurance. Pull it out. Hand it to the guy. I'm sitting there thinking, well, that was stupid. That was really stupid. I wasn't mad at the policeman. I was mad at me for being stupid enough to save two blocks and turn left and get a ticket out of the deal. Boy, it aggravated me. And this nice policeman just handed me back my license and registration and said, look, just be careful and don't do that again. I said, yes, sir, thank you very much. And you have a nice day. The moral of the story is, I have no idea. I just wanted to confess that to whoever that was that drove by and waved at me, okay? So you, it wasn't a drug bust, okay? I was just, didn't have me over the back of the car frisking me, all right? It was just, I turned left when I shouldn't have turned left. But what it is, I believe, is somewhere down the way of reaping and sowing. Here's the thing. You know, the rest of the day I was real careful about where I turned and what I did. Mm-mm-mm. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. A lot of preaching this week. I've been busy with stuff. I was sitting there last night, end of the day, and I was tired. But I was so thankful for God's blessings. And every now and then I think about the old days of the Grange Hall and the Fig Tree Church building and Butte Street down the hill from Shasta Regional, where we took an old eyeglass factory and fixed it up. And when we got done, it looked like a fixed up eyeglass factory. And fighting hornets for seats and water supplies that didn't work. I think back over our life. And I just spent some time thanking God for his goodness. And I believe just in a little way, God just sort of tapped me on the shoulder and reminded me, there is a due season, you know. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.